Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
How can we be your people and follow the example of your Son, Jesus Christ? After all, he's our model. So today, we need your Holy Spirit, because every one of us in somewhere in our lives has brokenness. We may be stubborn or proud or angry. Some other issue may be rankling in our minds, and we come to you because you are the great physician. Only you can give us peace. Only you can put us back together again. So we ask for your divine spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come close. Bind our hearts to you. We ask forgiveness of our sins corporately and individually. May we be willing to hear and to obey. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I want to spend a few moments with a teaching, not a preaching, but a teaching. And the title of the teaching is Loving Obedient Service. Loving Obedient Service. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, without love, doesn't matter. You can give your body to be burned. You can have faith to move mountains. You can do whatever. But if we don't have that love that's patient and kind, long-suffering, gentle, quick to forgive, etc., then we're not about what God wants us to do or to be. Just last night, I had a meeting with June Francis and actually the finance committee, Brenda Howard and others. And we're talking about this financial support of our church for our young people. And I had a difference of opinion. And June says, no, it's going to be this way. And Sister Howard was a little worried about whether we should be able to move in a different direction. So when I got home, I called Elder Carlisle. And I said, Elder Carlisle, what word are we supposed to do here? So he said, well, yeah, June's right, and Sister Howard is right. I said, well, thank you. I called him on the phone. Said, you know, you're absolutely correct. If you make a mistake, admit it. Don't be afraid to think that you know everything. If you make a mistake, admit it. Only God knows everything. And when we think we know everything and we refuse to admit it, we're trying to play God. And that's how Lucifer got in trouble. That's how a third of the angels got in trouble. They wanted to play God in heaven. We're trying to get to heaven. They wanted to play God in heaven and dispose of him in heaven. And what happened? They got kicked out. If we're going to grow as Christians, we must be open to admit when we're wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with that, because that's the only way we can grow. And that's what this lesson is about today. What is the setting? The lesson, and for those of you who have to leave before I'm finished, I'm going to give you the lesson in one sentence. Is that all right? So you know what it's about. The lesson is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the model of loving, obedient service. And only as we model him, only as we follow his model, are we truly his disciples. Loving, obedient service. What's the setting? Now, my dad, when I grew up, he had a pencil and paper at every sermon. He wrote down everything. And I still have those sermons. Over 50 years of them. Every meeting, he wrote down the text and he wrote down who said it and where it was, and he made comments about it. I know we don't do that anymore. So that's what we forget. So I'm going to tell you where it is, and you can go home and study yourself, Brother Dixon. Right? That's what we're talking about. Don't just listen to what the teacher say. Go home and look it up for yourself. Right? Amen? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, the Bereans, in that they searched the word with all readiness of heart. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Don't just accept it because the mailman delivers the mail. Read the mail. That's the message. Read the mail. All right? Now, here's the setting. John chapter 13. That's when we're going to basically have most of our teaching. But there are a few other texts that you may want to look up when you get home. But John chapter 13 is the text that we're looking at. And we're focusing on one of the last trip that Jesus made to Jerusalem before his passion. John 13, 1 to 35. But you can also follow in Luke 22, verses 26 and 27, and Mark 14:36, and Matthew 26:36 to 44. Those are just auxiliary. Just look at the first John 13. That's where you need to focus on, the book of John. I'll say those again, Luke 22, verses 26 and 27, Mark 14:36. And Matthew 26:36 to 44. But our key teaching today is just this one chapter. If you want to get some additional reading, look at the Desire of Ages chapter 71, A Servant of Servants, pages 642 to 651, A Servant of Servants. And incidentally, you can get that over the internet. You don't have to have the book. Just Google Desire of Ages. And it's right there. You can read it on your browser, okay, even if you don't have the book. All right, so let's look at the setting. Jesus is now moving toward crucifixion. He's trying to teach his disciples an important lesson, but they didn't get it. Over and over and over, he emphasized this important lesson. They didn't get it. The lesson was, how do you be a loving, obedient servant? They didn't want to get it because they didn't want to be a servant. They wanted to be served, but they did not want to be a servant to anybody. What capped it was John and James's mother went to Jesus and said, you know, in your kingdom, she knew they was going to Jerusalem, and she said, hey, this is time they're going to set up the kingdom. I'm going to put my bid in right now. I want my sons, one on the right hand and one on the left in your kingdom. And you talking about a fire. You haven't seen a storm like what it cooked in the other 10 disciples. And Judas was particularly vehement in his rage against John and James, and he was a traitor. Sometimes the empty can makes the loudest noise. You notice that? You drag something behind a car, the one that makes the loudest noise is an empty can. Right? Be careful. When you hear other people just raging about stuff, ask yourself a real question. Is there substance inside? Or is it just emptiness that's rattling? All right? You have to check it out. So now looking, Jesus' life had been entirely serving unselfishly. And the 10 disciples, as well as the other two, were looking for being number one in the kingdom. Now we see that in sports all the time. Basketball, football, all the rest, everybody battles to be number one. But Jesus said, in my kingdom, it's not that way. In my kingdom, the person who's top is the servant. The highest position is service. And we don't like that. We want the highest position and honor, not service. So These disciples are in the upper room, and Jesus is trying to tell them, this is what's going to happen to me when I go to Jerusalem. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. He looks around and says, okay, this is the teaching moment. You know, sometimes things are caught, not taught. Jesus had been teaching all along. They didn't get it. So he said, now is the opportunity to demonstrate what it means to be a servant. He quietly takes off his outer garment, and they're looking like, what's going on? They saw what needed to be done. There was no servant. There was a towel, there was a basin, and there was water, and there were dusty feet. They knew what needed to be done. But they say, not me. I ain't going to do that. And somebody has said, let George do it. And let some of those dead presidents, those Hamiltons, and, you know, let them do it. You know, just put them out of your back pocket, you know, fish it out. Let those folk do it. No, they didn't want to do that. So Jesus took off his garment, his outer garment. He knew what they did not know. He wanted to share with them and prepare them for the anguish they would have, but they weren't ready. And so by his own example, he gave a lesson that forever etched in their memories what true service was. The disciples, as Jesus waits, ask this question. Jesus asked this question. How can I bring these poor souls where Satan will not have a decided victory over them? That's what he said to Peter. Peter said, yeah, Lord, wherever you go, you know, I'm going with you. You know, I'm a homeboy. I'm going to be richer, you know, and thick and thin. When it gets thick, I will not thin out. You know, I'm like white on rice and coal on ice. You know, I ain't going nowhere. I'm with you. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, oh, yeah, really? Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, not me, Lord. Oh, and all the other disciples, not me. We do not know the depths of our emptiness until God reveals to us our true nature. Somebody has said, it is not until we're in deep trial that we really understand the filthiness of our inner heart. And God allows it. He doesn't send it. Lucifer takes advantage of that. He tries to destroy us by it. But God allows us to be in the crucible so that we will cry out to him for help. He's been asking us all along, please come. No, I don't need to pray. You know, no, I had enough Bible study. You know, no, I'm too busy for that. You know, I take care of my job. I'm doing my education. You know, I'm taking care of the children. I'm doing all that stuff. I don't have time to take time to pray with you. When I get time, I'll let you know. So God says, okay, keep going. And sooner or later, we're flat on our backs in a mess. Looking up, saying, oh, God, how did this happen? It happens because we do not take the time before the fact to spend time with God. And so, Jesus takes off his garment. He gets the towel, wraps it around him. He gets the basin, puts the water in it. And the first person whose feet he washes is, guess who? Who? Judas. Judas want to be the first. He's right next to Christ on his left, right there. If there's going to be a top place in the kingdom, I'm here. So Jesus washes his feet. And as he does that, His soul is stirred to its very bottom. And he's at the point of confessing that I'm the traitor. I'm the one. But he hardens his heart. He says, if this is going to be a king, how's he washing people's feet? Kings don't wash people's feet. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't going to be no king. Not the kind of king I want. And so he closed his heart to the moving of the Holy Spirit and later went out and finalized the deal to sell Jesus. I want to say something here. This is to me. Every refusal to respond to God closes the door to repentance. Until finally we can no longer hear the Spirit speaking to us. And we think we're all right. Only to discover, like Esau, he cried for the birthright, but he couldn't find repentance in his heart. It was gone. We need to be careful when the Spirit speaks to me, I do, that I repent. Then, not tomorrow, not next week, but now. Today is the day of salvation. So, Judas did not repent. Then Jesus got to Peter. And Peter saw, well, all the disciples immediately were embarrassed. In fact, they were horror-stricken because they knew what they should have done. And here their master was doing what it was their responsibility. And Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Lord, I don't want you to wash my feet. And what did Jesus say to him? If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Many people absent themselves from the ordinance of humility, not realizing they have closed the door against Christ. The only way we can commune with Christ is that he first cleanses our hearts. That's what the communion, the foot washing, is about. People want to be a part of the communion service without a clean heart. Can't happen. Even though Judas took and sopped, he went out and it was night in his heart. Only by refusing God's divine ordained way of preparation for the communion service, we close our hearts to his sacrifice for us. It's a horrible thought. And it happens every communion service. We're going to talk about what this unworthy about in just a moment, because I'm almost done. The teaching is almost finished. I got a lot of it. I'm going to close it. I'm closing it out. When Jesus took the towel and laid aside his garments, he was taking his heavenly authority and saying, I'm man now. He's still Almighty God. I'm man. I'm facing life like you've got to face it. Some people say, oh, well, you know, Jesus was perfect like, yeah, but he was God, you know. God doesn't expect me. Hey, wait a minute. Jesus came in human flesh so that we could overcome as he overcame. How did he overcome? By trusting in God. He trusted in, in fact, on the cross, isn't that what they said? He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. If he had come down from the cross, I wouldn't have had a ghost of a chance. You wouldn't have had a ghost of a chance. Nobody would have had the ghost of a chance. But he took the penalty and he washed our dirty linens. He paid for it on the Calvary. Thank God he paid for it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the ghost of a chance. So now I'm going to close this other out. I got lots more to say, but I'm not, because I think we've done it. The last thing I want to say today is, what does it mean when it says in Scripture that he who, and I'm turning to my page to read it correctly, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 to 34. I'm going to read that because it has been misunderstood and misinterpreted by some. And that's why they use an excuse why I'm not going to be a part of the communion service. So let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And beginning on verse 27 to 34. Let's read that. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Repeating, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. The Corinthians, some people were having a party. They were drunk. They were just having a ball, where other people had nothing to eat at all. They were completely unconcerned about anybody else but themselves. And Paul said, that's not what this service is about. This service is about the Lord's body. And what you're doing here had nothing to do with the Lord's body. So when you come here, if you're hungry, go home and eat before you come here. This is not a party. And if you don't have food, help somebody to help you, because they had that in the church there. Okay? But when you do that, you don't discern the Lord's body. That is when you are having condemnation. Jesus said if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven except one. The sin that is not confessed. That is the unpardonable sin. If you do not confess it, it will not be forgiven. Paul simply said, the Lord came here to save us, not to condemn us. He's not trying to burn us. He could do that easily. You know, hey, look, light the match, you know. Burn them up. He didn't have any need to, you know, find an excuse to burn us, because we were already condemned. What he wanted to say is, I came to save you. I gave my life, my blood, my body, the stripes. We are healed. Isaiah 53. With his stripes we are healed. So why does God want to condemn us? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. If God wanted to condemn us, he wouldn't give his son. Say, hey, let him burn. You know, I don't care. The crux of the matter is the communion service is for every Christian who comes to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm undone. Forgive me of my sins. If I've done something wrong to my brother, go talk to him. Brother, I'm sorry. Let me make it right. If I'm not paying tithe, if I'm working on the Sabbath, whatever that's going on, Lord, I want to be your child. I want to be an obedient, loving child. I can't earn salvation. You've given it to me. All I'm saying is, Lord, change my heart and make me yours. That person will never be denied. That's why Jesus came. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you gave your only son for me, for us. Today, may we be loving, obedient servants. We will not take, let us not take the attitude, nobody gonna tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to. I don't care who said what. That's my business. Teach us to submit our wills to you like Jesus submitted his will. Not my will, but thine be done. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.